And the way the fans responded last year was just incredible. I mean, those environments during the playoffs were exceptional. And then it's carried over. You know, the season ticket sales just exploded. Blown away any team in the National Hockey League for new season ticket holders. We're at 14,000 now. And, you know, honestly, we cut it off there because we want people to have access to the building. And we may have lost a generation of fans in there, or at least not having paying attention as much. They still need to get in that building. So whether it's individual games or groups, we want to make sure there's a rotation of people coming through there. So we decided that's where we wanted to cut it off and start the waiting list.
Pete Gwilly. Top man, Sabres and Bills, in studio today. When I saw a picture of Pete with Jeremy, I thought maybe I should dress up a little bit, thinking that maybe Lindy was going to come in for our turn when it came to promoting the new arrangement with the Sabres. But Lindy did not come in. He called in. And he, if you missed it, this is big, denied any involvement in the long-standing theory that he and Darcy would give out each other's phone numbers to make as a prank to people. He denied any knowledge of that, which I don't care, really. I'm still going to ride that. I think maybe that happened.
Without
his consent.
It's possible that he didn't know about it.
Yeah.
It's also possible he's just a game player. It's Definitely. Also possible he just doesn't remember. I mean, it's a very long time ago.
I have played a prank. I have played a prank with him. You know this one?
I'll bet when you get halfway through it, I'll remember it.
It wasn't much.
A dinner, you got one of the wine events.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the wine, when they had that annual alumni wine event, they had it in the atrium, in the arena. And that's when, like, 06, 07, you know, the height of his powers, the Sabres' powers.
Yeah. Heady times, yeah.
Yeah, and I played a prank on my friend Cynthia. And it was that I went up to Lindy and, like, it was half-baked. But are you willing to come up to our table with me and just sort of make fun of what she's wearing? And he did. And, like, she was excited to meet him for the first time. And he's like, why would you wear that, though, to this? Imagine saying that to a woman you've never met as the coach of the Sabres. And he did it. He did it. And then I just sort of, like, I can't be a part of this anymore.
I'm sorry, everyone.
We're just kidding. And that's the night. I mean, I'm talking like we're close friends or something, which we're not. I mean, I've had a dozen encounters with Lindy Ruff, you know, at the most socially. But that was the night that we were talking at the bar they had set up there. And I was asking him what he likes to drink. This is 20 years ago-ish. You know, what do you like to drink? And he answered and he said, what about you? And I'm like, I'll drink anything. You know, it's all the same to me. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned Sambuca. They had Sambuca
that bar. I remember Sambuca and Lindy said, being a thing with you.
If we win, if or when, I'm not sure if he said if or when, that's not germane. If we win the Stanley Cup, I'll drink Sambuca with you.
Okay, right.
And so when he came back here a couple of years ago, I reminded him. And I was not every day, but that would sort of flash into my memory this year, you know, in the spring. Like, if they win, that's he said he would do
you
it.
You got to follow through on this, buddy. Did he remember that when you brought it up to him?
I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean,
he probably played. It was polite. I bet he was polite and played it off. But he probably was like,
"Did I say that?
What is he talking about?"
You know, he probably thought to himself, "I could have said that."
Yeah,
maybe
it's got to be so hard when you are someone at that level. And certainly there are
mine.
No, Lindy's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There are obviously bigger stars, you know, in the world. But like any interaction you have with one of those people, right? Like, I don't think I said this to Ryan Miller when I finally had some time without. Like, I sat with him at the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame when he was inducted, but there was like a stopwatch on it. Like he came over. We had to start. We started. We got done. He left. I did not have a second to even say, like, anything about what his career meant to my kid and, like, everything, all that. So there was no personal time at all. And I ran into him when I was at one of the playoff games, the one that I was in the wrong suite for,
yep,
to begin with, he came down there and I got to talk to him for, you know, with a group of three or four people, and, you know, got to have a, you know, pleasant conversation with him. And I stopped myself from telling him, you know, my wife and young son love when you were so nice to them at Wegmans back in like 2008. Cause like, what in the world are you doing to someone that has met the number of people through his hockey career, like fans at the grocery store? Like, there's no, just no, no, don't do it. Don't bring it up. It's stupid. And I didn't. But like, that must happen to people that are stars of that level, like all the time. Yeah. It's one of the most important interactions you may feel like you ever have, because you like idolize this person, or he means a lot to you or whatever. And like, I don't think I idolized Ryan Miller, but he definitely meant a lot to me. Owen's ride in hockey is largely like generated out of Ryan Miller, I think. And certainly was for me. Like, I think, like, try to be a goalie, whatever, see if it works. And it did, you know, well enough. But, you know, those, if you get like 40 of those a day, how can you possibly remember like anything that happens? It's just so much.
Some people can do it. Miller seems to me like somebody who might be able to, because I think he cares about people and he's super smart.
He comes across as very thoughtful.
He might be someone who'd be like, oh yeah, I remember I was in the detergent aisle.
Right.
I don't know. Like, he, right. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what to do. If it's ever you, because we have some smaller scale of this.
Sure.
I was just in Kentucky. I had the show Powell on the ADP chasing episode. It's fresh off the Howl. You know, Google it. And, you know, it's serious fantasy football players. And so I had a little bit of this in Kentucky. And here's what you do. If it's ever you in life, here's what you do. If you don't remember the person, really, but you try to fake it a little bit, what you say is, oh, sure. And, you know, I was just thinking about you. I'm glad that we ran into each other again. Do you have that 20 I lent you last year? And then sometimes they'll give you $20.
That disarms everything, maybe.
Sometimes they'll just give you the, oh, yeah, I did remember to bring that 20. And then you walk away and you plus 20. Boom. How do you think I pay for all these teams?
Right. Wow.
Just scamming people off $20 bills. No, don't do that. It's funny, but you don't actually take their money. Thank you. Speaking of fantasy football, aren't you proud of me? I haven't mentioned Marshawn Lloyd once today until now.
No, it's over now.
Do you think I'm not asking you to get weird here, but like in sort of a typical fantasy football format context, is there any way you would draft Skylar Bell? Don't think too hard about decisions.
How
strategy.
Deep are we talking about? Like a,
not dynasty. No, this year.
Yeah. No. No. No.
What's the ceiling outcome for Skylar Bell? You need a Shakir injury.
You need something to happen to Shakir, I think, for him to really matter at all. It's not to say like he couldn't get in a game, and I think he'll be active.
Do you?
I think. I don't know. Maybe. Depend. See, he could be. No, I would not draft him. I would not draft him because he might be in peril for a spot on game day now because of Dortch. Mm-hmm. Like if Dortch becomes the guy they want to make their punt returner, and if they're thinking like I was thinking the other day when we talked about this a lot, that I'm not putting you on the 53 just to catch punts. Like, I've got the call-ups, and I can use those. Once I'm out of those, and if he's their punt returner, then I think they're going to be motivated to find a way to use him at least a little, and that's probably behind Shakir.
This is really good to know. If anybody out there is, like, into the machinations of the roster stuff, this point you keep making about the three elevations, the kind of thing you'll hear Sal mention a lot, is important.
Yeah, you don't have an endless, you just can't, it resets once the playoffs get here, but, you know, if you want this guy to be your punt returner, I could be wrong. They could just value it enough that they're going to use him like that, and he'll be on the 53, and all he's going to really do is return punts. But somebody's got to pay the price, and Bell might make the most sense right now. As much as we all enjoyed watching him play last Thursday, I mean, a very good game and looked every bit the part of somebody who could help you this year. But I think he's in a numbers game, and Dortch is just another complication to that, I think.
Mm-hmm. When the Bills go to Green Bay in December, really probably kind of a bucket list game for a lot of fans. I mean, they're in Green Bay every 8 years, unless there's some extra, you know, the one-off game like they have sometimes. But that is going to be when? Mid-December, Sunday night, by the way, at Lambeau Field. Bills and Packers, that's pretty good. That is week 14. So December 13th is the date. Do you know where I'm going with this, what Green Bay is going to wear?
You mentioned that it's known, and I haven't seen it.
The Packers will be wearing, and I think you can probably picture these, they're what they call 1923 classic uniforms. So the helmet is brown, meant to look like a leather helmet, and then who do they look like a college team, navy with gold letters and stripes, numbers and letters and stripes.
I've seen this.
And then like the same sort of orange brown pants. So they will not look like the Packers when the Bills go. The Bills will be in white then. Which, you know, was going to happen anyway. The Packers never wear white at home, do they?
You want to sit with something for a minute that's going to make you want to claw your eyeballs out of your face preemptively?
100% I do.
Is, like, imagine the Packers wearing that and the Bills wearing the gray stuff.
Yeah, no. That's already all set.
Oh! Yeah, right. I know. But, like, God, that would be just, wow, would that be bad.
Yeah, no. I mean, on a Sunday night?
Yeah, no. I know it's not happening. I know we know what the Bills are wearing. I don't know. I don't have it memorized, but I know it's known. How's that? Am I good here?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not so worried.
You know what
about
they're
it.
Wearing, but you don't know what it is, and don't draft Skylar Bell.
I would not.
You want to claw your eyes out, listen closely.
Yes. All right. We're good here.
Yeah. Okay. So the Packers will be wearing, they'll be sort of going niche.
Yeah.
That Sunday night against the Bills. Week, what'd I say, 14. Big game, probably.
I would think, yeah.
The Bills are favored in every game but two. Two or three on their schedule. At New England, at the Rams, maybe at the Packers. Maybe it's three.
Yeah.
But that's it. And they're favored in Houston week one. How about that? -1.5 remains the most common line. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. This is WGR.